From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 5th day of May, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the White House is ready to send Congress 3 free trade agreements. Ethanol supporters in the Senate have introduced a bill to adjust tax credits and tariffs related to the biofuel. And the Andersons has reported a 40% jump in its first quarter profits as compared to the same quarter last year. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear from University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good and why he thinks the price of corn has broken in the old crop recently. And at the end of the half hour, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated will be here to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast along the way. We'll hear about the cash grain market from Matt Bennett at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The nearby May contract for the soft red winter wheat at $7.22.5, down 18.5 cents. July, the harvest month, at $7.54, down 18. May corn futures at $7.05 finished 21.5 lower. July at 7.08¾, down 20¾. In September, 6.87¾, down 15¾. December futures, 6.55¾, 9.5 lower. And the March contract at $6.66½, down 9½ cents. May soybeans, $13.19¾ of a cent, down 30¾. July at $13.21¾, 30¼ lower. August down 30 cents at $13.20¾. November soybeans at $13.06¾ of a cent, finished 31¾ lower. May bean meal at $3.42.70, down $4.90. May soybean oil at $55.36, down $1.40 on the day. June live cattle at $109.75, finished 80 cents lower. The August at $111.87½, down $1.07½. May feeders at $128.62½, 65 cents lower. The August at $131.75, down $1.17½. May lean hog futures at $91.57½, the only gainer in the complex, up 97½ cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Most of the action happening in the crude oil, where June futures are now down $10.69 at $98.56, July at $99.12 a barrel, down $10.61. June ethanol is 6⅔ of a cent lower at $2.58, July at $2.57 at 8 cents, down 6⅓ of a cent. Natural gas at $4.25 at 8 cents of a cent. That's 31�9 cents lower. June heating oil at $2.85 and 7 cents, down 28⅙ of a cent. The gold futures finished at $1,480.90, down $34. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average is actually just 78 points lower at 12,645. The dollar at 74.1 is up 1.1. And the CRB index at 341.07 is down 17 at this hour. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. They say a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 4 o'clock this afternoon. Mostly cloudy, a high near 64 degrees. South-southwest winds at about 17 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 24 tonight. The chance of showers and thunderstorms before 7, then showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm between 7 and 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 48 degrees. Southwest winds at 7 to 14, gusting as high as 20. Chance of precipitation tonight at 70%. Friday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 69. West winds at 8 to 14, gusting to 20. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 51 degrees. Southwest winds at 7 to 9. And Saturday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, a high near 70 degrees. South-southwest winds at 11 to 15, gusting all the way to 23. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us to take a look at what happened in the world of agricultural markets and the outside markets as well today, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Is my assumption that this is all about crude oil the correct, or are there other things afoot?
Well, I think it's... The outside markets are definitely being impacted by basically a stronger dollar here today. It got awfully oversold over the past week or two after the Bernanke speech and basically ran out of sellers. And when you run out of sellers, then all of a sudden those guys that sold it had to cover. So we've got a strong move up in the dollar. There's been a general... movement out of commodities for the last 2 to 3 weeks. Goldman Sachs came out here. I forget exactly when they did that, but they basically started encouraging people to move out of commodities, take their money off the table, for the most part, prices had run their course, and downside risk was probably greater than upside potential, at least the way they looked at it. So you can kind of look at open interest levels clear across the board on commodities, and you have seen a pretty good liquidation. Now, specifically, as you get on over into corn and soybeans and wheat, there is no doubt about it, the outside market activities have contributed to the weakness. But also, we are planting a lot of corn. I mean, there's a lot of planting going on. In Nebraska, southern Minnesota, Iowa, northern Illinois, northern Indiana, and there are some spotty reports of planting going on in central and east central Illinois, and the weather forecast suggests that, you know, we're going to see a pickup of that type of planting activity. So I think when you combine those two factors together, that explains why we took a pretty big hit here today.
Let's start with the dollar. So was that where the action really started, and why crude oil folded today so the dollar started to come back? And is it just a correction there or something bigger?
Well, we don't know. I think it might be something a little bit bigger. The dollar did kind of go down to almost those levels that we attained in 2008. And while, you know, we have expanded the monetary supply tremendously over the past 3 years, and interest rates remain to be in that zero range for a while, but we do know that the bond purchase program of the Fed is coming to an end in June. So that in it by itself is going to stop the expansion of money, so that stabilizes the supply of money in theory, I guess. I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but that alone would maybe have a tendency to stabilize the dollar rather than continue to weaken it. The other thing is that we do see Washington at least attempting to trim expenditures, but nobody knows for sure if they're actually really going to do it or they're trying to make it look like they're doing it. So that's all on the table here in the next 30, 60 days. And I think, you know, when you take a look at the oversold nature of the dollar, it just kind of tumbled. And anytime the dollar starts strengthening, that's going to put pressure on overall commodities. I think the crude oil market is suffering from a drop-off of demand, especially here in the United States. I mean, you can kind of see when this gasoline hit this $3.50 to $4 range, general consumption of gasoline began to fall. And, you know, it doesn't take too much. All of a sudden, you've got more inventory around than what you think, and I think that kind of tumbled it. A lot of the economy news that we're seeing is somewhat negative. We see jobless claims rates or claims jump up sharply here, an 8-month high. So I do think you can see the general slowing down of the U.S. economy, and I think that's got everybody concerned too. Okay, so it's just a combination of things.
I can understand how that, along with planting of corn in the Western Corn Belt and it ramping up, put pressure on the corn market December on out. What about the nearby May, July, and September, and mostly the May and July for the old crop? Is that just a result of crude oil coming down? And then soybeans, you're going to have to explain to me why they're off 30 today.
Well, soybeans, I'm going to, I guess, we'll start with the corn. I mean,
okay.
If we're planting new crop corn, that means maybe old crop corn's not as valuable. The other thing is that basically the cash grain trade has felt that cash inventories of corn has been more than adequate. You don't have to go very far to buy cash corn. And, I mean, they still somewhat skeptical of what USDA's numbers showed us back in March because there is plenty of cash corn around. So that is, we're unwinding that bull spread, especially now that corn planting is off and running. We are going to have some kind of type of crop. The big argument is a half a crop, a third of a crop, or whatever, but at least we're planting. So as long as you're planting corn, the old crop demand begins to demand for the old crop, especially when we're at a premium, begins to falter. So we're basically seeing the narrowing in of that bull spread. Soybeans, I think that is still stemming from a larger than expected soybean crop coming out of South America. From what the early expectations were here 3-4 months ago, and then the general consensus is with some planting delays, primarily in the southern areas of the growing region, we're going to see more bean acres, that's coming off of the heels of a larger South American crop. And you can take a look at your weekly export sales today. Export demand has really kind of fallen off the cliff here over the past 2 to 3 weeks, and you can see today's sales numbers were generally disappointing.
Anything that's a takeaway for farmers today?
Well, some of my cyclical work would indicate that maybe this thing is going to try to stabilize here by early next week. I think what's going to happen is, you know, this May 15th window is kind of the a real pivot point. If we come in here next week and there's rain in the forecast and it doesn't look like the southern region or the wettest areas are really going to make any headway at all as far as corn planting goes, I think then the market will begin to start talking about reduced plantings, reduced yield potentials, and whatnot. But until this crop is planted, this corn market is not going to roll over and die. And I think you have to look at that. Also, from a weekly cyclical point of view, beans, I think, are zeroing in here next week on an eight-week type cycle low. So I'm kind of in the camp that this market is going to stabilize in here next week, and then we're going to have a rally toward the last half of May.
Thanks so much, Dan.
Very well.
You have a good day. Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
The Closing Market Report comes to you from the University of Illinois. You can always hear it again if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the White House said yesterday it is ready to send Congress three free trade agreements. The administration could start technical discussions with congressional staff on the details with South Korea, Colombia, and Panama as early as today. The technical discussions are the first step in the process Congress must undertake before approving the PACs. Ethanol supporters introduced a bill in the Senate yesterday that would phase out the ethanol blenders tax credit and import tariff while increasing the tax credit for ethanol blender pumps at gas stations. Under the bill, the 45-cent blender's credit would be cut to 20 cents next year and down to 15 cents in 2013. Afterwards, the blender's credit would be pegged to the price of oil. The bill extends the alternative fuel vehicle refueling property credit through 2016. That credit provides up to a 100% tax credit for gas stations to install fuel pumps that could increase the percentage of ethanol in fuel. To qualify, the pump would have to blend at least 20% ethanol. The University of Florida's Emerging Pathogens Institute has released a new report that identifies the top 10 most dangerous combinations of foods and disease-causing microorganisms. The report concludes that the five leading bugs result in a $12.7 billion in annual economic loss. Salmonella is a leading disease source with more than $3 billion in disease burden annually. The report recommends that the Food and Drug Administration and USDA develop a joint salmonella initiative that coordinates efforts in a number of foods. The Andersons reported first quarter profits rose 40% on surging grain and fertilizer prices. The company reported net income for the quarter of $17.3 million, up from $12.3 million during the same period a year ago. The company said revenues in the grain division, which includes a network of Midwest elevators and grain trading, jumped 59% to $638 million due, quote, to the overall climb in grain prices. And the UN Food and Agriculture Organization today says its April Global Food Index was steady as falls in sugar and rice prices offset gains in other foods. The index, which measures monthly price changes for a basket of cereals, oilseeds, dairy, meat, and sugar, averaged 232.1 points in April, up from 231 in March, when it fell from a record high following 8 months of successive rises. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program will post to our website at willag.org at about 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, Central Time. Our guest for Commodity Week this week, Emerson Knafziger, agronomist at the University of Illinois. He'll help us decide how much of a fall-off there might be in national yield, or at least yield in your field if you haven't gotten your corn in the ground just yet. Our panelists in studio will include Wayne Nelson, Paul Cooley, and Dan Zwicker. Commodity Week, our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture. Now, up next this morning, University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good joined me in the studio at Mumford Hall to talk just a quick bit about why the market has folded in the old crop over the recent weeks.
Well, I mean, most of the pressure has been in old crop prices, and it's really been, I think, the some of the liquidation we're seeing is in reaction to what many are seeing is kind of a mini macroeconomic meltdown here. China's tightening its economic situation. There's really concern about economic performance here in the U.S. We saw unemployment claims jump again this past week, so... And we've seen a pretty weak export demand for corn in recent weeks. A low level of shipments and very small new sales of corn. And so I think when folks are looking to next week's WASDE report from the USDA. They're kind of penciling in a smaller export number and bigger carryover stocks of corn. So they're kind of taking the attitude that rationing has been accomplished on old crop. We're seeing some declining consumption. And so the weakness really started in old crop corn. Now, more recently, has spilled over into new crop, although that spread between July and December has narrowed up quite a bit. But I think there is a growing thinking that more of the crop will be planted in a timely fashion this year than what the market thought just a week ago. And that's clearly going to happen, I think, kind of from northwest Illinois through Iowa and Nebraska. We're looking for awfully good planting progress next week. But the southern part of the Corn Belt into Indiana, Ohio, just not much progress. So at the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of corn nationally that's planted after the optimum date this year. And that, I think, has some significant impacts for yield expectations on a national basis that we'll have to own up to at some point.
That's University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good. I spoke with him this morning. His colleague Emerson Nafziger, agronomist from the U of I, will join us on our Commodity Week program tomorrow afternoon, and we'll take up that issue of what's happening in the corn field and yield, especially as we pass that optimum planting date. Last weekend, one of our panelists on the program was Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois, and he's here this afternoon to talk about the cash grain market. Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Todd?
Oh, I'm very well. When we talked with you and the panelists last week, everybody was protective. I don't know that you were bearish the market, but protective of the high prices looks like a good thing at this point. What'd you make of this market today, and what's happening in the cash market?
Well, you know, whenever you looked at this market today, I think if you would have told somebody that crude oil is going to be trading down $9 or $10 and the corn market wasn't going to be locked down the limit, they would have said you were a liar. So I was amazed that corn actually held up the way that it did today, but I think there's definitely some red flags out there right now, a lot more uncertainties maybe than what we had a week ago. And, you know, I was protective because of great prices that we had, and we still have good prices out here, but, you know, I think we're protective for a reason, and I think we're seeing some of that play out this week.
What do you see in basis old and new crop both?
Well, basis is holding together okay. I think, you know, one thing that we're finding, and there's several different processors that, you know, are having a hard time maybe originating as much corn as what they need to. And so basis levels in certain places are staying pretty strong. As far as new crop goes, I haven't really seen a whole lot of fluctuation there. I think the one thing that most guys know can happen, especially regionally, is that there's going to be a really hot basis, you know, whenever we get into the first part of harvest. Hopefully we'll be able to get some stuff early September, especially with a fairly tight carryout.
You know, the basis parts that you were talking about where people are having a tough time originating, and are those in areas at this point that had a really, were definitely had a short crop last year?
I don't know if that's the case so much. I think where you have especially a higher concentration of maybe ethanol plants or an ethanol plant fairly close to a river facility, you know, there's definitely a little bit of shortages here and there. Most of the guys in that particular area have been cleaned out. So there's not a lot of corn still out there on the farm as we speak. And, you know, the elevator ownership of what we have in our warehouse is extremely high. So, you know, there's not a lot of farmer ownership out there.
And very quickly, your bids for the day, if you have them.
Yeah, my cash bid on corn would be 691, fall 617, cash beans 1310, and fall beans 1270.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's at their Windsor, Illinois facility. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes with the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Raisin and Spice Bar Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1764, the Sugar Act passed in Britain, placing new restrictions on the import of molasses to America. In 1806, Isaac Quintard patented the apple cider mill. In 1858, W. Atlee Burpee was born. Burpee founded the world's largest mail order seed company in 1876 when he was just 18 years old. He was staked by his mother, who gave him $1,000 to get started in his business. In 1881, Edwin Houston co-patented a centrifugal separator, which could be used in separating milk. By the way, the patent not only mentioned separating milk and cream, but clearing muddy water for papermaking. In 1923, the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company of Akron, Ohio, began the first regular production of balloon tires for commercial use. Firestone's low-pressure balloon tires revolutionized work on the farm, giving tractors a more comfortable ride while lowering fuel consumption as well as lowering the danger of high-pressure tire blowouts. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Pete Leavitt is away today. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated is here to fill us in on what's happening in the world of agricultural weather. Drew, thanks so much for taking the time with us. Producers in East Central Illinois and further to the east in the Corn Belt would like to get into the field. They haven't yet. Will they be able to soon, do you think?
Well, I think there'll be some option for that. A lot of it's going to depend on what they're most comfortable with. If they want to wait until optimum conditions are out there, then the wait is going to continue for a while longer. I think there's going to be some potential for a few areas out there. If they really want to push it hard, they could probably get some work done with the way the pattern's going to be over the next 5 days or so. We are going to see a nice little surge of heat come across the region, which will really help us out a lot. This is going to take place as we go into the heart of the weekend and into early next week. I suppose it's going to be mostly Sunday into Tuesday of next week, where we'll see temperatures getting up pretty far into the 80s and maybe even touch on 90 in a couple of spots if we can get the skies to stay clear enough long enough. But that kind of heat is really what we need at this point. But, you know, with as much moisture as we've got in the ground in some places, that's just going to kind of destabilize the atmosphere. We may end up popping up a few isolated showers. But the bottom line is that, we're going to at least see some improvement across the region as far as being able to get out there and aggressively work the fields. That's probably not going to take place. But there will definitely be an increase. And then we've got the bigger storm systems that will be coming along for early to midweek next week in the western Corn Belt and midweek in the eastern areas. And we'll see some pretty good thunderstorm activity coming with that. So it'll kind of set us back a little while again after that passes through the region. And following that will be another round of cooler than normal temperatures. So it's just not your perfect season, you know?
Yeah, indeed. It hasn't been. Producers have been late. The Western Corn Belt, though, did get started late last week, the last few days in Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska. Have they been able to run for a good portion of this week? I know Northern Illinois is now going. Western Illinois is going in this state as well. Kind of trying to get an idea of how good conditions have been. I know they've not been great because it's been wet and muddy in the ground, but they've been rolling. Have they been able to continue to go pretty much every day in the last four or five?
I think that for the most part that's been true. There's been a couple of very weak little frontal boundaries or troughs of low pressure coming through that produced a few showers, but so far most of that precipitation has not been very significant. And there's another one going through now that might have put a few drops of moisture into the ground earlier this morning and overnight last night, but by the time we get to mid-afternoon, it's going to be dried out again in some of that region. So, yeah, I think that they've made some progress out there, and they will be able to continue doing that, even though we've got yet another disturbance that will come across the western Corn Belt and the eastern areas, too, for that matter, between now and Saturday night. Both of the little disturbances, the one we have today and the one that's coming up, will probably not be able to produce enough moisture to set us out of the field for more than a couple of hours at a time. So, yeah, I think it's a pretty good environment. It's not the best, but it's at least a step in the right direction.
Thank you so much, Drew.
Have a good afternoon.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. You've been listening to the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.